It's not just like you and me, Joey, like small time people. I mean, we're small time in the grand scheme of things, but stuff like NASA, the Federal Reserve, Department of Energy, Department of Justice, you know, these are some big, big names. The U.S. Senate, right? And
these higher end frontier, you know, so-called frontier models, especially the Chinese ones, are doing things that we have never seen before. And you cannot convince me this is not at least related to that. I just went to look.
You know, like, they're going to Mars because there's always opportunity. There's always talk that the United States is going to send people to Mars to colonize it. And imagine they do that. And then somehow that ship is commandeered by Chinese because they use older equipment that has, they found holes to take advantage of it. Who knows, man? It's scary stuff.
Len, it's another day, another hack, sort of, anyways. The Chinese, after the Federal Reserve, among other U.S. agencies and institutions, not sure what they're looking for at the Fed, but tell me here, what are we up against?
And this is like pretty amazing stuff to me because it shows off that the landscape of warfare is changing, right? Like, you got these superpowers like China and the United States. They're fighting, but they're not fighting in a traditional sense. This is like a digital trench that's happening right now, and we're watching this all play out. And not too long ago, like when you think about shady crap that's going on the internet, the notion was always people doing like teenagers maybe getting games that they didn't pay for or software didn't pay for, or maybe some groups out there doing ransomware. Things have evolved because we've just learned that the United States government, it has been under attack for quite some time. And it's from this group that's called QTFY. I could come up with a bunch of funny names for this thing with this acronym, but I'm not going to because we're going to try to keep this as friendly, as family friendly as possible. And this group appears to be, at least have ties to China, and they're state sponsored amongst other institutions and countries as well. But China seems to be on board with this and helping them out and keeping them afloat. They're a hacker for service, right? And they do their stuff. And I'm just seeing this all play out. And I can't wait for Netflix to come up with some sort of movie or TV series and all this. It's got to be epic. So this group, what they do, they are working for people, or I guess not maybe people, but institutions or departments like the China Ministry of State Security, and also the People's Liberation Army. So even the army is getting involved and purchasing these guys' services. And what they've done, they ended up creating two platforms that help them out to do their craft, and one being called QScan and the other one being QT Router. And QScan is used to crawl the internet, and it's scanning for those IoT devices that so many people have purchased in the past few years. And these devices, some have vulnerabilities, and the QScan goes out there and finds those devices that have these vulnerabilities. So these are like stuff like home routers that are not very secure, maybe some cameras or some thermostats, something like that, small appliances, whatever. And people want to have stuff automated, they buy this, but they don't think about the security side of it. So they try to compromise these devices, and they make sure all the data which is being stolen from it is then rerouted to the QT router, and it's doing so in a way to hide its tracks. And the QT router, because it's using that, it's being rerouted in these 130 different countries that these IoT things are being the devices that are getting the information to us. So it's kind of just hiding the track. It's almost like a dynamic VPN, so it's impossible to find where this information is going to be ultimately going to, because it's being confiscated. The tracks are being covered up as they go to these different countries and so forth. So the scary part is who they were attacking. It's not just like you and me, Joey, like small time people. I mean, we're small time in the grand scheme of things, but stuff like NASA, the Federal Reserve, Department of Energy, Department of Justice, you know, these are some big, big names. The U.S. Senate, right? And that's scary. The FBI says this hasn't been something that has been going on just for the last few months. No, man, since 2019, they've been tracking this stuff. You know, it started with an attempted breach in NASA, and that failed way back when because NASA was able to patch their vulnerability at the time. But then these projects, these hacks, these attacks, they got more ambitious. They got bigger. They got stronger. They went after defense contractors. They go after energy grids. They go after telecommunication providers, hospitals too, right? Like, these are important. We use these on a daily basis. And should they go down, and I'll talk about that in a second, it's going to drastically, negatively impact our lives. And so what the DOJ did, they went out and they seized a couple of domains out there. And those were hard-coded domains that the malware was sending the communication to. So if they, those websites were taken down, which they were, it essentially meant that the information was no longer being routed to the mothership. So they chopped them at the knees. But it doesn't mean they're going to stop there. They'll continue doing their craft. So like I said, this is a kind of digital warfare that's going on. And the stuff, how they're executing this, it's like it's being escalated higher and higher, and it keeps going on and on. So it's not the first time. 2023, the FBI stopped something called the Evolt Typhoon. That was a Chinese state-backed botnet, and that was trying to get into critical infrastructure in Western nations. 2024, they stopped the Flax Typhoon. These names, there seems to be some commonality here. And with that, they wiped out a botnet made up of 100,000 of hijacked IoT devices. So very similar to this. Last year, 2025, the FBI, they used remote access commands to purge a bunch of malware on 4,000 U.S. computers that were impacted and affected by a Chinese group. And then earlier this year, 2026, June, the DOJ took down 13 AI-powered consulting websites that were run by foreign intelligence. And they're meant to trick U.S. security clearance holders into leaking the information over there. So the U.S., they're focused on trying to be aggressive here and disrupt things. I get it. The warfare has changed, and they're fighting a war on multiple levels, not just in Iran, but also online. And so they're treating this as a hacker group. It's not, they're not just like letting this go. And they are treating this with the utmost respect, and they want to deal with it because they believe this is a syndicated crime that is potentially, they're going to be routing a lot of information to China. They're going to try to hunt down their infrastructure, take it down, seize domain names, bring them to their knees, do whatever they can. I get it. And what this all leads to is it's the flavor of the day. We have AI, and AI is being used in cyber attacks all too often. And again, probably with this one, China's not the only one behind it. So many other countries and maybe companies as well are getting involved. This is the playbook for everybody. Try to use AI, try to get into people's IoT devices, or try to find vulnerabilities in their applications, in their devices. Try to operate in that space, take advantage, steal the information, take control. This is what they do. AI is going to be a huge part of it, as we saw not too long ago when Kimi K3 was released and how it impacted Bitcoin significantly. And it's going to happen just like anything else in this thing. So it's not just from making these automated tools. You know, they'll scan, they'll adapt, they'll execute these virtual bombs. But, you know, it's just another name in the game. It's just another thing that's happening. I find it to be interesting. Taiwan's government, actually, if you don't even look at it a little bit further, they too faced massive automated AI-assisted intrusions not too long ago. European critical infrastructure, like water and energy grids, were attacked by, of course, AI. So AI, like I mentioned, is getting involved so much. So what can people do here? It's really, you got to be careful with what you plug in and connect to your network. You know, it's nice to have a camera, a microphone, or whatever. But every time you do that, you got to remember, if it's not secure, if it's not patched, if it's not up to date, it's a potential backdoor where they could take information from you and use it against you and your government. So be careful out there, because these cheap IoT gadgets, they're a backdoor in my opinion. So I'm not a big fan of them.
I think you're totally right about the backdooring of these sort of like weakest link in the home network. You know, the weakest link in the home network setup is an obvious way to do this. On the side of like, maybe apart from the tech, you know, you brought up last week and we talked about it before, that AI is a geopolitical security issue now. It's not an issue of you know, can I build an app to help me, you know, whatever, decide what I should be eating if I have an upset stomach? No. Is it about, you know, building an app that helps me figure out what's wrong with certain plants in my garden? No. Those things are nice to have. They're retail facing, of course, but these higher end frontier, you know, so-called frontier models, especially the Chinese ones, are doing things that we have never seen before. And you cannot convince me this is not at least related to that. I just went to look this morning. I was thinking about, you know, doing this show, and I wanted to see, like, what does it cost to get the Kimi K3 Frontier top-end model for 1 year? What do you think it costs? I'll give you, let me give you something to compare to. The Claude top-end model, the Claude 20X Max model, which does not have the Frontier, we'll call them hacking and cyber capabilities that Kimi has, costs about $250 US a month. The Kimi K3 model, so $250 a month is what, you know, $1,800, something like that US, let's call it $2,400, maybe Canadian, $2,300 Canadian for the year. What do you think the Kimi model costs, which does have the cyber capabilities, does do all these things that Fable will not do and won't scold you if you, you know, call something retarded in your chat? You know, what do you think that costs?
How about $120?
It costs about $3,000 a year. So a little bit more, but for the extra horsepower, you get the pleasure of being able to do literally anything you want, anytime you want. And there's some other stuff on board the Kimi model that Claude or OpenAI don't have. That's a problem. The other problem is that infrastructure in the United States, you know, speaking of this kind of, if you zoom out on this analogy of what is the weakest link in American, you know, in the American home network, okay? It's not Google, Microsoft, Amazon, Apple, Meta. It's not those companies. It's not mobile devices. It's not video games. It's not even probably the home PC. Do you know what it probably is, Len? It is probably this aging infrastructure and their aging technology stack that represent the most obvious hole in security when it comes to these frontier models. It's not like I'm making that up. If you look back at the original Glasswing project, where Fable, you know, what was called Fable then, I think it might be called something different now, whatever they're using at the Glasswing level, the sort of locked up frontier level at Anthropic. Where did it find the most vulnerabilities? It found them in old software, old programs, old code bases that just hadn't been looked through, had been forgotten because they just are working. Stuff like FFmpeg is a great example of that. You know, old Linux kernels. These things are forgotten because things have moved so quickly now, and you know, this move fast and break things attitude has led to maybe more convenient honeypots for hacking groups or states or whatever. Mm-hmm. But in a war scenario, you know, in a combat, quote unquote combat footing on the digital battlefield, I mean, no one cares about the Linux kernels from 2010. They care about infrastructure projects. They care about Federal Reserve. They care about the space program, you know, which, by the way, has a link to SpaceX now, right? NASA and SpaceX work together on some stuff. It's not Elon that's going to get compromised. It's not Twitter. It's not, you know, these private companies. It's not going to be Satya Nadella who's got to give an address saying Microsoft was captured by a foreign state actor or compromised by a foreign state actor. I think it's quite the opposite. I think what you're going to see is the biggest hole being in these organizations and branches of government that just not only have, I think, less talent than the private sector, but also less tech. You know, there's so many reasons why it would be difficult to put up a barrier, cyber or otherwise, to these attacks from state actors. And, you know, I think one of the reasons over the course of, you know, the time we've done this show, even before AI was so prevalent, so readily available for cheap, you know, before everyone was token maxing in their free time, like I am these days, we were still telling stories about regional banks, local banks, hospitals, doctor's offices, car dealerships, retail outlets. These are the places where the problems are, those tech stacks, right? And why are there problems in those tech stacks? Because you cannot take them offline. They are critical infrastructure. You cannot take them offline to upgrade. You cannot take them offline to sweep a code base. You cannot take them offline to make changes. You can't disclose a vulnerability that might affect other parts of your infrastructure. Because if you take something down, it will tip off the people who are looking into these things. This is a new, you're in a new era, new paradigm here in cybersecurity and cyber prevention and cyber offensives as well. I'm sure the Americans are doing similar stuff like to this, you know, like their Chinese counterparts. And I can't imagine that Canada is not doing it or trying to, you know, no matter sort of how low level you may have been in the kinetic warfare hierarchy, there's no reason you can't be near the top in the cyber warfare hierarchy. The only limitations really are compute and energy. And everyone has enough of both to execute on something like this. That's the scary thing. Places that were just not a threat 10 years ago now. If you have enough horsepower and enough compute and enough, you know, free resources to power that compute, and you don't care about guardrails and public, you know, the public opinion on data centers and stuff like that, this is what's going to happen. It's going to continue to proliferate. So I want people to be aware of that. And, you know, maybe one last thing here before we wrap it up. What is the American response going to be to this? Like taking down domains, seizing domains, like great. Grabbing hacking groups, great. But like it's starting to feel like whack-a-mole a bit, you know?
What are they going to do, go on the offensive?
I don't know. I honestly don't know.
They're in a difficult position. And it's not like they don't have threats from all sides trying to get at them. They are the top of the mountain. And when you're there, everybody's trying to gun to be number one. So yeah. They are number one. And it's difficult to beat, to fend off all challengers and to make sure you continually be number one. So I don't know what their course of action is to go for. And on top of that, I mean, you were discussing older software and like we've all heard the story. I don't know if there's any truth to this, but ATMs, bank ATMs are running like Windows NT or Windows 3.1.
Stuff from the 90s. Yeah, stuff from the 90s.
These are so old. And then a lot of bank, that's not a lot. I've heard of bank software running on Fortran. And so, this is software from the 60s and 50s, or 60s, I think it was. So yeah. And then if you go even further, and my mind was racing as you were discussing, because if you look at even a space race, and typically what they, at least in the older days, what they tended to use was stuff that's been tried, tested, and true in spacecraft, because then there'll be redundancies that built in, because you don't have any opportunity to fix things on the fly. You've got to make sure you're using stuff that's just been through the ringer a million times, but something that's old might have bugs that have never been patched. So who knows? I mean, there could be stuff that they're putting into spacecraft right now that could be potentially that they could be targeted somehow. Imagine, you know, like they're going to Mars, because there's always opportunity. There's always talk that the United States is going to send people to Mars to colonize it. And imagine they do that. And then somehow that ship is commandeered by Chinese because they use older equipment that has, they found holes to take advantage of. And who knows, man, it's scary stuff. You know, like they could really show their power and take control over people's lives from a remote location and screw over people. So yeah. Don't want to mess with China, man. But
no, the panda's been busy. Let's get out of here. Thank you for watching. Thank you for subscribing and liking the video, leaving a comment, telling us how smart we are, how dumb we are, what we missed. We appreciate all your comments, no matter how kind or how mean. Accessofeasy.com, you can sign up for the newsletter, get all the stories from every week. EasyDNS.com for all your registrar needs. CanadianBitcoiners.com if you want to listen to Len and I talk about Bitcoin, the economy, and some other stuff going on in Canada and the world. And of course, ready.ca for high agency Canadians thinking about what might be next for them in the Great White North. Till next time, friends, take care of yourself.
Take care.